Good morning, Birch Ridge. Isn't it a blessing to have such an amazing worship team here at Birch Ridge? It's incredible. I said it in first service, and I'll say it again. They really set me up for success. Get to come out here after everyone worships and cries out to the Lord, and everyone's smiling, and it's special. It's time for the children to go. Mr. Tim has the blue balloon. Bye, buddy. Bye, guys. Be good. I'm actually reluctant to release the children, especially my own, because what's today's commandment? Well, it's the fifth. Honor your father and your mother. So we're going to get into that today. Thank you for being here. We are going to get ready to dive in. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Exodus 20, chapter 12, and I'll give you some time to get there. And while we turn there, I'm going to invite you all to recite our family declaration. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, how glorious and wonderful is your name. Lord, we're thankful for who you are. We're thankful for your Son. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thankful for the entirety of who you are. Lord, I pray that you go before me in this time. Humble me as your servant. Speak through me. Give me the confidence and the knowledge and wisdom necessary to deliver this message to your church this morning. Lord, I also pray for this church to be ready to receive this instruction that comes from your word, Lord, not anybody else's words, but yours. I pray that they're open to that, receptive of that. We can continue to learn about your commandments. We can keep them because we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, so we arrive at the fifth commandment, and we're going to start by taking a look at that. That is, again, Exodus 20, chapter 12, or I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 12, verse 20. Oh, wow. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Somebody help me. All right. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. All right. This is a pretty important commandment. They're all important, but this one's unique in the fact that it kind of bridges our gap that we see between the first four, which deal with our relationship with God, and the remaining six, which deal with our relationship with others or with people. It's not in the position that it's in on accident, and there's a couple things I want to look at about that. The first is that we must understand that this all still points back, although these remaining six do start to deal with our relationship with others, it still points back to our relationship with God because it is His commandment. These are His commandments. The second is that these commandments were and still are for God's people. God set these with an expectation that those who follow and love Him will keep His commandments. We see that in John 14, 15, where Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." These commandments are written to believers. So there's a little bit of an expectation there, or even an assumption. The assumption is that the adults, or the parents, will honor God, which is covered in the first four. Those are the first four commandments we went through, which all deal with honoring and respecting God. And if those parents do that, they honor God, then their children will honor God by honoring them as parents. Now, does this mean that we only honor our parents if they're deserving of it? Well, to quote the Apostle Paul, may it never be, which means no. No, that is not what it says. This is not a conditional commandment. It simply says, honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say honor your father and mother if they deserve it. Very direct, very straightforward, and it's a universal command. And that can be difficult for some people. And we're going to look into that a little bit. But again, this is part of God's design. This is the plan that he had in place, the plan for parents to follow and honor him, and for the children to follow and honor their parents. Honoring parents is a foundational part of God's call for an obedient and submissive people. We see that all throughout Scripture, a call to be obedient and submissive. Doing this is part of His perfect plan. That structure enables a stable society. It produces righteous living, and it comes with a spiritual blessing. But as usual, we humans mess it up, don't we? Can't help ourselves. It's not something that we see being lived out in society today. Not at all. We don't see people honoring their parents, and we most definitely don't see people honoring God, do we? It doesn't take a lot of hard looking. You really just have to open your eyes and look around at our society that we're in. But again, this brings us back to the point of the law. What was the point of the law? It's to show us our sin. Show us our inerrant ability to keep that law, which points to what? It points to our need for a Savior, doesn't it? We need a Savior. God knew we did. He knew we wouldn't be able to keep the law, so what did He do? We know, but let's look at it. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Can we be saved by the law? No, we cannot be saved by the law. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We must realize our inability to uphold God's holy standard, which is the law. And we must put our faith in Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive us of our sins. Why do we keep harping on this? Why is this something that we continue to talk about? There's been elements of this in every single message that we've done here on the Ten Commandments. It's because it is the only way. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I don't want there to be any confusion. We, as a church, don't want there to be any confusion on this. Keeping the law does not rescue you. Jesus rescues you. So why are we teaching the law? Why? That's the obvious question now. That question's come up a couple times over the last few weeks. Why are we going over the law if it's by grace? Why? Well, we already talked about it earlier. It's in the same chapter, last verse we just read, John 14:15. Jesus says, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. Let's look at Romans 6:1-2. Paul speaks on this very issue. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? God gives us grace because we are nowhere near perfect, but God still wants us to keep His commandments because this lives in a way that honors Him. Putting faith in Jesus Christ, the coming to Him in true repentance produces in us a redeemed heart that bears an attitude of good fruit. And that ultimately should do what? It should cause you to strive after God and strive to keep His commandments. God produces that in us. And if we have a truly changed heart saved by faith and grace, then that's what we get. We see that in Ezekiel 36:25-27. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. So why are we teaching the law? We're teaching the law because as believers, we should want to keep God's holy law. Why? Because we are indwelled with His Holy Spirit due to the salvation only possible through Jesus. And the Holy Spirit works that in us. That striving after what is right. Striving to be like Him. How do we be like Him? By keeping His holy standard to the best of our abilities. All right, that's my first sermon. We're going to start the second one. Leading up to this, it really felt that the Holy Spirit was impressing on me to draw that clarification. We are not teaching on the law because that is the steps to salvation. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And due to the change He makes in our heart, then produces those good works where we keep the law. All right, so on the specific fifth commandment, I've broken this teaching today into three sections. Section one, what it means to honor our father and mother. Section two, why God commands us to honor our parents. And section three, honoring our parents today. So let's start in section one. Section one, what it means to honor our father and mother. First, we need to kind of look at what honor is meant here, what it means. I think the best way to do that in many cases is to look at the original language. So this is a Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word for honor is kavad. And kavad means to make heavy, to give weight, to be grievous, be hard, be rich, to give glory to be burdensome, to endure. How do we apply that? That overall depth of meaning. That's a rich and deep meaning. There's a lot going on there. Sometimes we overlook what the word actually carried with it. To honor one's parents means to respect, value, and give weight to their authority and role. This is ultimately a reflection of God's commands on how we are to treat Him. These are the same principles that we're seeing applied here. We have the first four commandments. What is that ultimately all pointing to? It's pointing to honor, respect, and submission to God. God calls us to submit and give authority and honor, respect Him in those commandments. This fifth commandment is the first that we see that relates to our relationship with others, and it is started with an emphasis on submission to our earthly authorities, our parents. This is also the first charge we see to children. But it's to everybody, isn't it? Why? Because we all have parents. Last I checked, there's no way to get around not having parents. There might be some that aren't active in people's lives. We all know that to be a sad reality of the world we live in. But you physically had parents. So how do we show respect and recognize someone's authority? Ultimately, we do that through obedience and submission. And that brings us to our first point in this section. Honoring means to obey and submit to authority. Now, what does this look like? What are some practical steps in this? Practical steps that we can have in the lives of believers. Well, firstly, it includes obedience, especially as children. God calls children to submit to their parents, first in obedience. And again, this is that first and primary charge we see given to children. They're directed to honor and obey their parents. We see this emphasized again by Paul in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. It's right. This honoring through submission doesn't end just with obedience. Very important for children. Very important that that is instilled. But it does continue into adulthood. Now, obviously, that relationship changes, does it not? Start to get out of the house. Obedience, you know, that type of honoring through that submission changes slightly. And it transitions to more of a respect and a reverence. God calls us to respect and revere our parents. That is still an act of true submission, even as you start to get out on your own. We see this in Proverbs 13:1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. We should respect and revere our parents. Now, as our parents grow even older, see this progression. How do we support them when they're elderly do so by offering them care and support in their old age. This is important to God, and it's talked about frequently in the Bible. We'll look at a few of those verses. But we must do our best to care for them. And anybody that does this or has done this, there's people in this church doing this, they understand the difficulty with that. It's challenging, stressful, but it is pleasing to the Lord. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We talked about what honoring means. Our second point, what does that meaning include? Honoring includes obedience, respect, and support. We are called to obey our parents. Do so with a respectful attitude. It's not just an action, it's an attitude. Respect them into adulthood and care for and support them in their old age. Now, why did God command this of us? All of these commandments we see have a lot of purpose behind them. Sometimes it's to protect us. Sometimes it's because God is God and that's what he wants us to do. He's due all of our praise. He's due our honor. But there's a lot of purpose behind this commandment. This brings us to section 2, which is why God commands us to honor our parents. Let's look at the first way. Honoring parents teaches submission to God. Honoring our parents teaches submission to God. The first authority we experience on earth is what? It's a parental authority. The fifth commandment is a reflection of the first commands, to which all directly point out what? Submission and honoring and obeying the Lord our God. This commandment, in the same way, requires an honorable submission to our parents. This is critical. If a child does not, listen to this, if a child does not learn to submit to parental authority, they will struggle to submit to God's authority. They will struggle. If they can't honor their parents that they can physically speak to, physically touch, physically see, why would they honor God who we have a very different relationship with? This is also a wake-up call to parents. Start to connect the dots here. It goes even farther than that because, unfortunately, they will resent and resist God's authority, just like they resist their parental authority. There's a pattern there. Proverbs 1, 8 through 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not ignore your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful wreath for your head and necklaces for your neck. What does that mean? That's saying it's going to make you a wonderful person. You do that, you will develop to an honorable person that loves the Lord. God created the family as a foundation of society. That brings us to our second point. Parents are God's delegated authority. Parents are God's delegated authority. If the family collapses, society collapses. Do we see that today? We definitely see that today. God's design for the family directly connects to our society and to its health. And within that design, there is a clear authority. What is that authority? Starting with the father and the mother, then as a team, over as a headship to their children. That is the design for the family. Romans 13, 1 through 2. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Parents stand in the place of God for their children because they're delegated by God as their direct authority. It's their first authority. To obey and honor your parents is to obey and honor God. Now again, does this only apply to good parents? It's a universal command. And that can be very difficult. That's not lost on me. That's a major challenge. But a little bit of context on the chapter we just read, which was out of Romans. Romans 13, and Paul is instructing the church, the Christian community in Rome, on dealing with the authority of the Roman government, which was anything but fair and good. They were being killed. They were being persecuted. They were having to practice and learn about God in secret. And yet, what did God say? He instructed them to be submissive and to endure that authority because it honors Him. It shows the rest of the world who we are as Christians. Look at Romans 13, 5 through 7. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due to them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. This is difficult, especially when we have parents who we feel don't deserve that honor. But honoring our parents, even when it's not easy, is so honoring to God. He's pleased with it. So pleasing to Him. Now, I don't want there to be any confusion. This doesn't mean that you just intentionally subject yourself to torture and abuse. Of course not. I believe you can create a healthy distance and separation while still remaining honorable. And that's very situation to situation. And ultimately, what do you have to do for that? You have to lean on God and trust Him. You have to trust God. Put all of your faith in Him. Commune with Him about it. Talk to Him. Tell Him your problems about this. If it's something you struggle with, be open with God about it. But put all of your faith in Him for strength and rescue. Look at Psalms 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. What a promise that is. It is true. I've seen this in so many different ways in my own life. God will be there for you. Maybe not in the way you expect, maybe not immediately, but He will be there for you, especially if you call out to Him about this. Lean on Him. This brings us to our third point. Honoring parents leads to a stable society. We kind of got into this a little bit already. When families break down, so does society. There's a clear correlation there. The disobedience of children is ultimately a sign of a morally failing society that is living in open rebellion to God. We see this in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 2. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Does that sound familiar? The breakdown of parental honor leads to rebellion, it leads to crime, leads to lawlessness. We see that today, don't we? Oh my, we see that. The numbers are staggering. I thought about putting some statistics in here, but they were just blowing me away too much. The number of kids in the juvenile system today, the number of children that are dying over just nonsense, drugs, different kinds of abuse, it's out of control. The way children behave in public, don't get me started on what teachers have to deal with today. I feel for teachers. Because kids fear no retribution. Because they don't honor their parents. The very first authority figure they have, rejected. And it's not all their fault, is it? Ultimately, this is the result of a society and a people who are rebelling against God and God's ordinances. It's a consequence. This dishonoring of parents is dishonoring to God. And this leads to the erosion of society. Listen to the pattern. There's a pattern here. Parents that honor God produce children that honor God, and those children produce a society that honors God. There is a pattern. It started with the parents not following those first four commandments. This is one of those consequences that follow. But there's some good news attached to this, isn't there? That's our fourth point. Honoring parents leads to a promise of blessings. Look at Exodus 20, verse 12. Again, honor your father and your mother so that your days may be prolonged on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Again, Exodus 20, 12 is the first commandment with a promise. We see that again in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that what? And that you may live long on the earth. Now, this promise of long life has both a national and a personal application. The national application applies more to Israel. These commandments were first delivered to Israel. That's why throughout the Bible we see that the people of Israel were trusted with the oracles of God. That's referring to the law that was given to them. And the people of Israel, especially in the context of that time, knew very well what? That God had promised them a promised land through the line of Abraham. So this wording, they understood very well. Again, so that your days may be prolonged on the land which the Lord your God gives you. So there's a national significance there to the people of Israel. But there's also an individual significance. Those who honor their parents often live a more peaceful and stable life. That's a very physical and very individual and very specific blessing that's there. Your days on earth will be prolonged. Now, some of us that have been fighting the good fight, keeping the faith, running the course for a long while, might not think that's a great deal. It's like, I want to go back and be with the Lord. But it's incredible, because this ultimately means that you're honoring God. You're honoring your parents, honors God, and God is using you as a servant to further his kingdom. You get to be of great, honorable service to God. He will prolong your days. Why? Because through you, his kingdom is going to continue. It's incredible. Very honorable. God's promise of a blessing is so special. It's here as that specific commandment because it is the first one that deals with our relationship with others on earth. Again, honoring parents is honoring God. All right, let's look at section 3. How do we bring this all home and apply this today? Section 3, honoring our parents today. Well, the first way through practical application is as children. We already kind of discussed this, but that's the first point. As children, obedience and submission. That's that first charge. Again, Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. This is right. That's a child's first duty. Listen, obey, and respect their parents' guidance. Now, as we grow into young adults, how does this look? As young adults, through respect and heeding counsel. Even after leaving home, honoring our parents should include seeking counsel. Very important for young adults today. I remember when I was a young adult, when I was like 19, 20, man, I thought I had it all figured out. I was like, yeah, this is easy. I got this dialed in. I look back at myself now and I'm like, man, that guy was dumb. And I'll tell you what, there was a lot of phone calls with my dad. I don't know what to do. What was that? That's seeking their wisdom. And we see that in Proverbs 19, 20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline so that you may be wise the rest of your days. That's a pretty good deal right there. So that you may be wise the rest of your days. We should also speak to our parents at this stage of life with great respect. We see an example of that in 1 Timothy 5:1. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father. There's an assumption of great respect and reverence there, isn't there? Appeal to him as a father. All right, so then as we become adults that actually kind of have some things figured out, I don't think we ever get it fully figured out, by the way, but How do we care for our parents then? How do we honor our parents then? Through provision and care. We do it by providing and caring for them. We should respect and care for our parents in their old age if possible. Don't neglect them, but instead care for them and continue to honor them. This is important. Like we talked about before, God cares deeply about this. Jesus actually rebuked the Pharisees for this. We see that in Matthew 15, 3 through 6. And he answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves also break the commandment of God? For the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'The one who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God, he is not to honor his father or mother.' And by this, you have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition." This is the words of Jesus. That's a bad place to be. Pharisees found themselves there often. Let's also look at 1 Timothy 5:4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice godliness in regard to their own families and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Honorable. If we can do it, we should do it. It can be very hard. Like I talked about before, there are many people that have gone through this experience or are currently going through this. And it's anything but easy, but rely on the Lord and remember that it is honoring to your parents, which means it's honoring to God. Now, this final point here. As parents, how do we honor our parents as parents? By raising your children to honor God. As parents, we honor them by raising our children in the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You want to be honored by your children in a biblical way? Then show them that you honor God and that you honor your own parents and raise them in a biblical way. It's back to that cycle. Look at what that verse said. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want nothing more for my own children. It blesses me so much to see my children asking questions about God and reading the Bible and wanting to know more. And it's motivation for me to keep this commandment in the way that's honorable to my parents who raised me in the way that I should go. I need to raise my children the way that they should go. I don't want them to ever depart from it. Look back quickly at Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. There's another aspect to this pattern. The fourth verse is there now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's a huge piece of this puzzle. It starts with the parents, and this is the design. This is the way that God has instructed us to live. Honor God and raise your children to honor God, and they will honor you. Now again, I know some of us come from abusive parents or deal with parents that wanted nothing to do with the Lord. The very first thing I'll say is that I am genuinely sorry, and I'm heartbroken because of that. The fact that you are here says something incredible about our God. You've got to remember, even though it is hard to come to terms with, that this is what God commands. And if we love him, we will do what? Keep his commandments. Break the cycle. Lean on God for the strength that you need for this. Break the cycle with your children. Raise your children in the way that they should go. By doing what? By showing them that you honor your parents. Why? because you love and honor God. You want to keep His commandments. As simple as that. God will give you the strength for this. Ask Him to help you. And if you don't have children yet, and you're struggling with this, then learn to honor your parents now so you can teach it to your children. Your children are watching you. They will watch you if you don't have them already. If you already have them, they're watching how you treat your parents. That alone should be a wake-up call. And I know many times it's easier said than done, and that's why you got to rely on God. I can say things from up here, but you have to give it to God. The most godly thing you can do for your parents is to forgive them. Jesus forgave you. Jesus forgave me. No one has been abused more than Jesus, yet He forgave us. Hallelujah. Let's look at Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, He was despised and did not esteem. And we did not esteem Him. That didn't stop our Savior from coming down and paying the price for our sins, did it? No. He forgave us. Finally, for all of eternity. So when dealing with your parents, be Christ-like. One of the best ways we can be Christ-like is to forgive.